I'm Adam.
And I'm Mike.
Welcome to The Dad Experience,
a podcast where dads can connect
and openly share stories. We've got another exciting episode for you here on The Dad Experience. On this episode, Mike and Adam sit down with Tom. They talk about work-life balance, along with dividing and conquering with our significant other or spouse to ensure everything gets done at home. All of this and our favorite reoccurring segment, things we can't wait to see through our children's eyes again. So join us, won't you, on this exciting journey we call
The Dad Experience.
Welcome again to The Dad Experience. I'm glad you could join us on this great day, on this whatever day you're listening to it. Could be any day, but glad you could join us again on our great podcast. Got another great episode for everyone. We have a gentleman that is extremely hardworking and has to do a lot of balancing of family and job with his family at home. So hopefully we'll hear a little bit about that and how he manages all of his time and still manages to be a great dad at home. But before that, it's been a long time. Mike, how's it going?
Not too bad. Not caring for the weather lately. It's wet and rainy and the kids are missing soccer practice. It's ridiculous.
You know, every time I talk to you, I swear you say it's the weather. The weather is not so good. But yesterday was amazing. It was like warm and nice here. And
it was one day. The rest has been crap.
It's been 2 days in a row. But would you rather have this foot of snow on the ground or would you rather have a little bit of rain so our plants start growing?
Oh, boy, that's a tough call, bud. You know, I went to northern Michigan. It's a lot of snow up there.
I know.
Snow versus rain. Man, I like the rain a lot too. I don't know. It's a 50-50. I'm on the fence on this one. I can't answer.
I usually would take the rain at about this time just because I know it's coming up on, much warmer weather. Either that or if it's in the fall, then we know where it's coming up on colder weather, which I'm usually ready for, which is why most people live in Michigan is because if you don't like the weather, stick around and it'll probably change, right? Isn't that the old saying?
That's what they say. I'll take the rain over the sun though.
Well, yeah, it's because you're pasty white.
That's true. I do burn very easily.
I know you burn. You burn pretty easy. So I do enjoy the sun though. I do enjoy the sun.
Yeah, you do.
But yeah, so we should get to welcome our guest. Today's guest, we have Tom. Tom is a teacher by trade, but also a very impressive family man throughout the rest of his days. Tom, welcome to The Dad Experience.
Thanks, guys. It's good to be here.
So, Tom, we like to start all of our episodes off just by asking our guest, you know, who do you live with at home? What is the makeup of your family?
Okay. I live with my wife, Jenna, my 6-year-old daughter, Charlotte, my 3-year-old son, Colin, and my 1-year-old son, Crosby.
Nice, nice, nice. So, how's that transition been? So it's been a year with your youngest. How's all the transition been now with adding another person to the household this last year?
It's pure insanity. I mean, it's like you switch from a man-to-man coverage to zone defense, and your whole world changes. But you know, it's not all awful. It's great, right? Having a larger core unit of children to occupy each other. It's really rewarding watching from the side as they interact together. Whereas when we had the one boy, the one girl, they were kind of in their own worlds. But the two boys, even at 1 and 3, I'm pretty sure they're plotting world takeover as we sit here right now up in their bedroom.
So how long did it get take to get used to like being outnumbered by the kids? Because, you know, obviously you were 1-to-1 before and now you are you're like 1.5-to-1. So how do you handle that?
Why don't you check in another 6 months and I'll let you know. Because right now we went out to dinner this evening and we had a probably easily 85-year-old gentleman walk up and start casual conversation, because that's one of the joys, I guess, of being older is you can do whatever the heck you want and just interject yourself into anybody's conversation in life. But he was full of wisdom, and his parting words were, "What the heck are you guys doing taking 3 kids out into a restaurant?"
That's awesome.
And I'm pretty sure me and my wife made eye contact immediately and said, "I'm not sure what we're doing here, but we weren't cooking and you got to eat, right?"
Right. And you know, At some point, though, you have to get out of the house, too. So hey, I don't care how old the kids are. You just got to get out. And I know from our experience, even with our first, when we couldn't really even leave the house with our daughter because we didn't want her to get sick, you go stir crazy. I mean, and then there's some point where I think all, at least from my standpoint, all like kind of fear of what other people think kind of leaves when you start raising your little ones, because obviously they're the most important. And my standpoint is, well, who cares about everybody else if they, you know, as long as my kids aren't like burning down the building, but
right, as long as,
you know, they're maybe crying.
Yeah, as long as they're not like wrecking somebody else's experience, you know, who cares?
Well, I think that's when you need to be selective of where you're going to dinner. I mean, we're not going to the Ritz-Carlton here. We're going to Texas Roadhouse, where it's okay to be rowdy. You throw your peanut shells right on the ground. So, I mean, along with everything else my kids throw, they got to clean up the floor either way, right?
Well, yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think finding places with loud music or louder music that's playing or just a louder setting in general are always good. Because, you know, like it or not, as parents, I don't think we're always going to go to Chuck E. Cheese either or go to dinner either.
Never go to Chuck E. Cheese. It's the worst place
ever. Not always.
I try to avoid it.
Hey, the 1980s Chuck E. Cheese. Great. 1980s Chuck E. Cheese was awesome.
Well, that was the years with the responsible parents. Now it's Chuck E. Cheese. You go in there and there's kids just going ham everywhere. Your kid gets on a ride, four other kids jump on it. There's no parental supervision whatsoever. It's ridiculous.
I'm going to have to disagree. I think Major Magic was the place to be.
Major Magic.
Or Showbiz Pizza.
Showbiz.
You know, I remember this is, we're really showing our age a little bit here, but I do remember Chuck E. Cheese, to kind of not totally go off on a tangent, but I remember Chuck E. Cheese, and I remember going to one. There was one just outside of the Metro Detroit area, not too far, Tom, from where you're at, where you work. And it was, there was this big, and Mike, you might remember this too, because I think we went for a couple birthday parties when we were kids, but there was a huge wall and it was like a brick of cheese. And there were all these really cool tunnels you could climb through.
I do remember that.
Like climb up and you could just get lost. Huge. And I mean, it was probably not that big, being, you know, 5-4 year old, it was probably huge. But like, I remember you would like climb up and they'd have these open holes to the outside and you might be, you know, off the ground. Think about like the lawsuits that would be waiting to happen now. And back then it was like, well, whatever, we'll just leave these
the
open.
Kids
the kids
will know,
you know, the kids won't
not
fall.
To go through the hole. Tom, right. what are your age range of
but
your
anyways,
kids
yeah, those,
on your kids? What's the age range?
6, 3, and 1.
6, 3,
okay.
Yeah. So
it's like a 5-year spread.
You're the same age. I got a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old. It's ridiculous.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've got just 1 week and 1 day. Oh, no, 1 week. Yes. Today is, we're recording this on a Thursday. 1 week and 2 days. 1 week and 2 days. And then, you know, 1.5 year old. So lots of diapers in this house.
Another couple of years and every day feels like you're negotiating with terrorists.
Sometimes that's already happening with my 1.5 year old. Like she has figured out no. She has figured out no, and I think she's figured out no since we brought the little one home, and I think that's her way of going, I love my sister, and she loves our daughter, Lucy, but it's her way of going to mom and dad saying, hey, you brought somebody new in my house, so now I'm going to let you know that I'm not totally comfortable with it just yet. She will be, but, you know, it's all growing pains, I guess, right? What do you guys think? You guys have been there. How did your older ones handle it when the new ones came home? Tom, why don't you answer that?
You know, when Colin was born, Charlotte was 3. She was very excited to no longer be the only child. But I will agree very much that bringing that new person into the household, there is that moment of, hey, I'm still here. And I don't think she was necessarily defiant by any means, but maybe overly caring to the point where, you know, we had to be careful she wasn't suffocating the baby because she loved it so much. But I think that was her way of just saying, hey, guys, don't forget about me. Who is this person? Why are you giving them more attention than me? I'm still here. Don't you remember me? Starting for attention. But this next time around, it wasn't like that. Colin immediately took on the new baby and loved having him around. And Charlotte, being a little bit older at 5 at that point, is a super, super caring, very sweet big sister 99% of the time, which that's pretty good odds. We're okay with that.
Yeah. See, totally. Mike, how did your oldest handle
number
it with your youngest?
Between age ranges is like that 2 years, because Eli never had an issue. He was young enough when Liam came along that he was more than willing to share. There was, you know, plenty of mom and dad to go around. And he was totally fine. We didn't get any kickback, any jealousy, anything. But as soon as friends have kids that have a little more age distance between one another, and it's, you know, like maybe it's around the 3 and 4 year difference, and there's so much like back talk and just defiance when you get that one extra year. But like the 2 years that the boys are apart, they're perfect. I mean, they're friends and buddies, and there was just never jealousy.
You said what was the
of mine?
What were the ages of those 2 boys again?
6 and 4.
Yes. Yeah, I agree that the 2 years is good. I think if we had a 5 year range, like say it was just Charlotte and Crosby, with the sass that we're getting out of Charlotte right now, I feel like that would translate over a lot quicker. But that mid buffer is 2 years is the magic right now.
Because then they're old enough to be helpful, yet not old enough to be, you know, buttheads about anything. And they're still, you know, they're still new. They don't know. They haven't quite figured it, you know, much of anything out yet. And it just goes a lot smoother. Adam, you're not going to get any of that. You're not going to get any of that. Yeah.
Fast forward mm-hmm. 10 years. You're going to come in your house.
Oh, absolutely.
Mike, and you're going to be, you know, collectively burning something,
you know what,
down.
They,
and you're going to think back.
They
to this
pick
moment.
Up sticks and it's an instant sword, you know, fight. Somebody's gotten a wound in the eye. They both have scars on their heads already. So they're both doomed. Well, I mean,
yeah, I bet you say boys
girls can
be
the same way
lot,
too. It just matters what the parents are into.
Yeah, I was just going to say though, girls can be girls too, right? Right. Totally. I agree. Hey, Mike, you know, I saw your mom last night and she was wearing a Power Rangers t-shirt. So I can tell.
Oh,
I mean,
well,
it's,
you know what?
It's pretty sweet though. I mean, obviously. So, you know,
yeah,
it is an all in all and how and what your interests are.
Well,
right?
She had two.
Doesn't
she
matter
had two
who
boys
you are,
too,
what you
so
are.
She, you know, interests. She knows what's up.
No, I thought that was pretty cool though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, and she wanted to be
absolutely.
What they were into, just
their
like I'm sure,
totally,
you know, having
different.
Two girls, I'll be into different things as well. Totally. So, you know, Tom, I know you. I know you pretty well. I've gotten to know you over the past few years, which is one of the reasons why I asked you to be on the show. I've never seen somebody be – I'm just impressed all the time. And no joke, I know the amount of hours that you put in at work, because we do similar work. You
sure.
do – even another building on top of more of what than what I do. And you always look so well put together. You're really well thought out when you're in the job. But I also see you on social media or just, you know, and whenever we get the chance to chat, how much of a family man you are. And I just, you know, maybe there's a secret out there. Maybe there's something that you can give the dads out there, even me, a tip. But how do you manage all those hours at work that you put in? And I know you put in tons of hours, way more than the average worker. And how do you still make sure that your family at home is getting, you know, dad or, you know, the husband, Tom?
Man, that's a loaded question. I can tell you my mantra from day one has been fake it till you make it. And, you know, so I appreciate you saying that. I always look always put together and like I've, you know, well thought out, which I do put in a lot of work and you know how that goes. But the nature of our job as band directors, it's peaks and valleys. And it's knowing when you're getting to those peak points that you've put in the preparation ahead of time that you can go into them without having to add additional hours to your workload, because of the scaffolding you've done of setting yourself up and setting your students up for success. I think the key to balancing my work life and my personal life is I selected a wonderful, wonderful partner. I married up, if you will. And she is, any areas that I don't have on lockdown with the house, she's always like a month and a half out knowing what's going on. And surprisingly always knows that I've forgotten something 2 days from now before I realize that I've even, you know, forgotten or looked, not even looked at the calendar. But I don't think there's any magic method. I hate to burst your bubble. It's passion that fuels what I do. I genuinely treat my kids at school like they are my kids. I am personally invested in their future and being a director. You know, some of them I get to teach for 7 years. Some of them, my senior class for next year was the first class that I taught when I was student teaching. And at that point, they were fifth grade band.
Well, like you said, you're vested.
So watching,
you're making the time.
I know my own.
Or all these activities.
Yeah, I can. That's right. I can predict. Right. And I'm, you know, I can tell you now that my kids are growing up a little bit, it is becoming more of a juggling effect with, you know, Charlotte being in dance on Monday nights and Colin now taking on soccer. But I will tell you that the key to my, I guess, my success and somehow remaining afloat and staying sane is last year I made the commitment that I was going to go in early and I was going to do as much as I could front loading the day before the students are in the building. And when it was time to go home, it was time to go home and I was leaving my work at work. And I think that is probably the crucial piece of the puzzle that most teachers don't get the opportunity to do, or a lot of band directors don't take advantage of. And I think that's part of the reason why the turnover rate, the burnout rate with teachers is so dang high. It's not knowing when to flip from personal to professional and professional to personal.
Right, totally. And, you know, I don't necessarily think it's just in band profession, you know, because we have a lot of teachers, obviously, that listen to the show, but there's a lot of other just professionals out there. And I think, you know, getting up before the kids can get up, if you've got a partner at home, maybe that will do that for you, which I do as well. And getting in early and front loading that day before the kids are really up and at them, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, I think that would change a lot of things because I find myself, I'm not an early morning person unless I have to be. And my day in the fall starts at, you know, I'm at school at about 10 to 6, quarter to 6. So it's a pretty early day when I'm getting up at 4:30, 4:15.
So you're scrambling. It sounds like you're scrambling.
I'm scrambling. Yeah,
you got to front load the day, bro.
But by the end of the day, it's like, you know, I'm putting in hours at the end of the day. So, you know, and I do get up early and get there early, but it seems like that is the sometimes maybe that will help many, many people out there get what they need to get done. So, you know, you talked a little bit about your partner and your wife, right? You said wife, right? Because you said partner. Yes, I just want to make sure wife. I said wife. You know, some people aren't necessarily married. Sure. So how do you get the support to your wife that she needs, you know, like helping with family day to day, whether it's homework or, you know, if your kids are old enough for that, or chores around the house, or, you know, how do you guys kind of manage that together? Is it just divide and conquer? Do you have a system, or you just kind of go at it and it gets done?
It is definitely a divide and conquer, and it is a constant not struggle, but it's something that we never have perfect. We're perfectly imperfect. And, you know, one of the things we did is, despite not necessarily having the financial stability to do it at the time, but we were losing so much family time when we were all together that we decided to, you know, there's somebody at the church that cleans houses for a living. So we have somebody come to our house once or twice a month just to do some of the basic tidying up stuff or some of the dusting that, you know, we just don't get around to doing. Because one of the things we decided was when we're home and everybody's awake and we're home, that time needed to be protected. And we found that with her busy work schedule and my busy work schedule and the myriad of different activities that the family's involved in, that when we were together, we were losing so much time doing some of this basic stuff. So that was a small financial investment that freed up a lot of our time to where we could play as a family. I think that's the proper term. I think we I think you, in my opinion, there's not enough families that do play together very often. And that's such a crucial part of any family dynamic, regardless of how big or small, is the just simple, joyful, fun stuff. That's the stuff you're going to remember. The being bogged down with, you know, all the drama that we can get caught up in life, that you're not going to remember that 10 years from now or 50 years from now. You're going to remember what you did, the fun moments, the best moments that we wish we could get back.
Because like if you take from our own experience, I don't remember exactly what we did, but I know that I had fun doing it. It's just an emotional feeling. It's so long ago, and you know, there are a few key things that I remember, you know, going to Cedar Point or going camping or something, you know, like those specific instances. But overall, I had a fun childhood. Could I tell you exactly what we did all the time? No, but I know the emotion that I felt was more fun than anything. And that's what's most important. I mean, my kids aren't going to remember what they did. Like today we played, you know, they wanted to watch a movie and Jamie was like, no, let's have a family game night. So boom, we had a family game night. We played games, you know, from 6 to 8, you know, when the boys went down. I mean, and that was fun, and they had a good time. They didn't, you know, they didn't win the one game, but they were a little upset. But I mean, they had fun playing, and that's what's important,
right? And those are the moments where you're really teaching your kids, you know, the social dynamic and what it's like to interact in a playful manner.
Right.
That's the important stuff.
The rules, you know, don't mess up the board with all the pieces on it. You know, there's counting. There's, you know, the social interaction. It's, you know, it's important.
Going back to your question about how I support my wife, I think that the biggest transition I've made over the last couple of years was as I was establishing myself as a teacher, I was afraid to take time off because, you know, what could happen if I'm not there? Do we have a substitute teacher to pick up the job? Okay, we don't. So now other staff members are filling in. The kids are not playing. There's chaos. What type of fire or mess am I going to walk back into the next day? And eventually I kind of had the eureka moment where I was like, you know what? I get a redo with these kids at school every single day. And eventually they're going to graduate and leave me. I have one shot at home to raise my own kids. And if I'm not careful, I'm going to miss it.
And I think that rings true, not just in our profession, but in all. I mean, whatever you do, work's going to be there. Work's going to always be there. And whether you're in the same position your whole life or you change jobs, it's always going to be a job. But family's always going to be family, and you get one shot at it.
Right.
That makes a lot of sense. It's very, very, very very important to remember, something that, you know, I know that is a different way to look at it than I've always looked at it. And, you know, it rings true to me and hopefully some other folks out there too. So, you know, we've heard on the Dad Experience many, many times that finding time, and I know Mike is big, big into this, but finding time for you and your partner to be you guys and remember why you fell in love or why you got together. How do you guys find that time, or when do you put that time in?
That's a tough one. I mean, I can tell you we're going out tomorrow night for the first time in quite a while. I've made contacts with some former with some former students that like are, you know, 4 or 5 years removed, that one of them happens to work in a daycare. And so I was like, do you babysit? And she was like, yes. I said, what are you doing Friday? And so she was free. So we're gonna go to dinner and we're gonna go see the new Avengers movie tomorrow.
Oh yeah, nice. It's good.
Yeah, it should be a good time. But I think if our goal is once a month, it doesn't always happen. Sometimes it's twice a month because the luck of the draw just happens to line up that way. But it's making that time for just us to go do something. We do have fleeting moments here and there. Like our kids go to bed relatively early. So usually we get, provided she's not doing anything for her job and we're not in the crazy season for me where I need to do something, we usually get 1.5 to 2 hours a night where it's just us after the kids are asleep before we decide to, you know, go to bed and throw in the towel for the night. But that's still not the same as taking an evening out to go interact like you do when you're courting or dating early in your relationship. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm sure she is too. And I'm just thankful that we have a babysitter to utilize for a change.
Good. No, that's great. That's nice. It's always tough. And it's always tough even nowadays to even find somebody other than grandparents. And a lot of everybody's lucky enough to have that around to even find somebody that you can trust to be with your kids. So that's awesome that you found that and you're able to try and make that time, or at least attempt to make that time. So we're going to take a quick break here. Remember that the Dad Experience is part of the Parents on Demand Network. You can download their app and find our podcast, subscribe to it, as well as many other parenting podcasts, all different types from all different walks of life. If you stay tuned to the end of the show, there will be a promo of another podcast from the Parents on Demand Network that if you like the Dad Experience, I'm sure you'll love. So make sure you stick around and listen to that. So after the break, we have a few more questions for Tom, and then ultimately ending up with our regular segment, the three things you can't wait to see through your children's eyes. So stick around and join us after the break. Welcome back to the Dad Experience. We're here with Tom. Tom is a full-time job as a teacher, but also is very, very well balanced between his home life and his work life, along with just, you know, seeing everything that he's done with his family, just being a good dad. And he's had a lot of things from the front end of the episode that I'm sure many of you have noticed that are just great, great advice for dads from all walks of life. So I guess the next thing, Tom, that I'm curious about is, have you had any like aha moments where it's like, wow, why haven't I been doing this when raising children since day one? Or why didn't somebody tell me this? Is there anything out there that you just, you can think back to that maybe would help somebody else?
Oh man. I think that the moment I realized that my kids are smarter than I am was probably the beginning of being a good parent. And I think, you know, we've existed for, you know, I'm going to say 20 plus years. That way we're not aging ourselves too much here, but we've existed for, you know, a longer period of time, and we have our set ways of doing things. And this, you know, I don't want to say fixed mindset, but we have patterns that we know is true. And then you have a 3-year-old telling you you're wrong and doing something no, and you're like, no, you can't do that. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. And don't do that. Don't do that. And then they do it and it works fine. And you're like, huh, I wouldn't have done that, but that made more sense than what I was telling you to do. You know, they take more risks because they are borderline fearless, and we're so reserved and terrified, even though we don't even realize it.
No, totally. Totally makes sense. Totally. And I guess kind of the flip side I have for you, that is, what is a fail that you're like, ah, man, why did I do that boneheaded move? And how did you handle it and change it?
Well, actually, here you go. Here's yesterday. I'm doing yard work in the backyard and starting the grill. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I look over my shoulder and realize that my daughter has grabbed the hose and is about to turn it on her brother. And I'm like, I snapped. I was like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Because I'm, you know, still in 2.5 weeks ago with Mother Nature having an identity crisis as winter still, you know, April identifying as January. And I freaked out for a minute and started to just unleash on my daughter, to which my wife immediately was over my shoulder saying, what are you doing? Why don't you just grab the hose and turn it on both of them? It's 80 degrees outside. Why don't you take a break and have some fun? And I was like, dang it. You're absolutely right. I completely missed out. And had she not called me on that, that would have been a not good moment. And instead, I got to douse my kids with a hose, which is always fun.
No, totally. And you know what? And that's just a good sign, though, of a healthy partnership, too, though, because there's a lot of partners, and I've seen it, and that wouldn't happen. That to them is almost like an undermine for people. Do you know what I'm saying? So that's a great, you know, thing that you guys have as well, that you can do that for each other. And I think it's important to have that line of communication to say, hey, and who knows what's going on either side? Who knows you better than your significant other? And they may know, hey, you know, you've been a little bit stressed. You may have had this big thing going on the last couple of weeks or whatever, and maybe just needs a checkpoint. And we're always telling our kids to have a checkpoint and think about things. And there's no reason we shouldn't. So that's some good advice, to just have that open line of communication and be vulnerable.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, teamwork makes the dream work, boys.
That's what
what it comes down to.
I my wife and I have a brutally honest relationship, and I can tell you that she calls me out on anything that I need to be called out on. And at the moment, it might drive me nuts, and I might, you know, swear to the hills that she's completely wrong. I can tell you that 99% of the time, she is nowhere near wrong, and I appreciate the heck out of her for that.
Absolutely. I'm on that same side. Be open and honest. Don't bullshit me.
It's so easy to bring
come by it honestly.
The stressful days at work home, and as much as you want to, you know, shut the band hall door, get in your car and drive home and open the door and all of a sudden be in a different world when you've got that day where, you know, every rehearsal is a train wreck, or, you know, you've got that one kid in the ensemble that you swear is chewing on his clarinet rather than playing it or using it as a javelin, or, you know, the percussionist in the back who are doing handstands on the timpani and, you know, playing the snare drum with the sousaphones. I mean, mass chaos. And, oh, by the way, the concert's tomorrow. And you just, nothing's lining up. So you're driving home furious. It is so hard at certain times. And this, I'm sure, is, you know, all professions. But it's so hard to walk in the door and not take out any of that frustration on your family. And my wife has saved my children and me many times from myself. So partner selection is really a important key aspect of any relationship. Gentlemen, if you can marry up, I highly recommend it, but find somebody that's honest. And when they tell you you're wrong, accept the fact that you probably are, and it's okay.
Right. Right. And you know, you kind of brought me to something that I remember and I learned from somebody, years back. And when you have a day like that, and whether it doesn't matter, it could be anything. It could be you get a ticket on the way home because you were speeding, or it could be, you know, you broke something that was given to you that was your prized possession. I try in the heat of the moment, and it's not always easy to do, and it gets better with practice, just like anything, to go, okay, that didn't go well. But I try and put myself in a place to go, what are the things that I have that are great? And the first things I always think about when I'm in that position is I go, well, I have a great family at home. I have two daughters at home. I have a great wife. And usually that can kind of transition me out of that like bad mindset. It doesn't always work, but it seems like if you can think about those things, because obviously the positive is going to, I've found almost always the positive outweighs the negative. So if I can put myself in a positive situation or put a positive twist on it, like if you get a ticket, well, you know, I didn't get in an accident. I got stopped because I was speeding, but I didn't get in an accident, so I'm okay. You know, if you try and put that spin on certain things, or if you have the bad day where the kid's on the timpani, well, you know what? He didn't fall and break his arm. So, you know, it wasn't great, but at least nothing worse happened and we kind of got through it. So sometimes I find that if I put myself in that, now again, I'm not the best at it. I'm still practicing it, but it's something that I've found that has worked for me. So
when nobody gets hurt, it's a win.
At home or at the job?
Everywhere.
Exactly. I agree.
It's a general rule.
So a couple episodes back, I've kind of changed up our final segment, that our reoccurring segment, from the three movies that you're most excited to see with your children to the three childhood events that you experience that you can't wait to share or see through your children's eyes. It could still be a movie, but anything out there, because I've had a lot of people that have shown interest in not just necessarily movies, but they want to share something about that they're excited about sharing with their children. So Tom, is there something out there, three things out there that you're really excited to share with your children, or see it through their eyes and maybe hopefully experience it like you did as a child, or even better?
Man, I can tell you two things that I have witnessed on my end that I wish I could have seen through their perspective, I guess, would have been watching three individual kids take their first steps and realize it. And seeing that immense joy from something so small to us now. Like, we don't think about walking, we just do it. But in that moment, like, eyes lit up. Oh my God, I'm mobile. I'm moving. What is this? That was amazing. I think I want to see something I want to see something very soon here of them experiencing something for the first time. I want to experience that again. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
those little tiny moments of little trivial things that are like the biggest, greatest things, like, holy cow, I found a worm. Look at this. And I'm like, dude, you're holding a worm. But that worm's like $1 million.
It's brand new. And it's a brand new experience.
I don't know. I think it's a brand new worm. I think watching my daughter start to read was really cool. I can't wait to see my son doing that. I just hope everything that they're finding joy in, I hope they all do something musical. I'm not going to be crazy to the point where I force it. Obviously, Colin, you know, being a 3-year-old boy, he's into drums right now. He wants to hit anything that he can with sticks. But at the same time, he's expressed interest in athletics. I want them to experience as many new things as they want. And I just want to be along for the ride. That way I get to experience it for the first time all over again.
Right. No, totally. And, you know, you did share something that you can't wait to see through your kids' eyes. And what's neat about it is we haven't had this yet, but it's something that, you know, knock on wood, we all will see, hopefully, if our kids end up getting married or having children or just having children, we'll hopefully get to see that. And that's something that, you know, I think about now that you said it. It's like, wow, that is going to be cool to see that happen or see their excitement when that happens for them. Because it's a big deal. That's really cool. That's interesting. Something to look forward to.
At the end of the day, I just hope that, you know, in 50 years or however many years I get left with them and in this world, that when I'm gone, that they have fond memories and have great stories about growing up. And maybe it's not specifics. Like I said, we talked about that earlier. I don't care if they remember the specifics. But if they can look back on their childhood and go, man, we had a good time, or wow, look at all these cool things that my parents made me do or let me do. If they can grow up and be, you know, I hope they grow up and be an even better parent than I am.
And that's all we can ask for our kids, is hopefully they'll be better than we are, right? I mean, that's my goal as a parent, is hopefully they're smarter.
Well, that's what we're always, you know, as a parent, you should want your children to exceed you. You know, you want them to do better, to be better.
Totally. Totally. I agree. You know, Tom, I do have one more thing, and I didn't have it on the kind of the questions that I was hopefully going to get to asking you tonight, but I am curious about this. You were in, it was a rock band when you were younger, right? Or not really younger, right?
Yes, I was.
And you can stop me at any point that you'd like, but you were on a TV show in a competition, correct?
Yes, sir.
Which show was that again?
We were on season one of America's Got Talent.
Nice. And so my question for you is this. One, do you regret not doing that anymore, that life of being in a band and maybe touring or doing, you know, gigs wherever?
We've been pretty heavy on the church circuit the last few years because we're all old and affiliated with, you know, a myriad of different groups. Our saxophone player, Matt, is a principal at a Catholic school. So when they needed entertainment, he volunteered us to play the fish fry and the summer sausage fest.
yeah, it sounds delicious.
At our own church, we did the chili cook-off. We've done some other stuff there. We keep toying with the idea of a reunion show, and I'm certain it will happen eventually. But, you know, the core three members of the group, Nate, the lead singer, is married with two kids. I'm married with three. Jeremiah's married with three. Matt is married, no kids. And then, you know, you got the other two guys that are working full time, one married, one single. We're all in different places within our lives, but we just played last weekend, actually. Yeah. At my son's preschool did a silent auction. And they needed entertainment, and we're always looking for a reason to get together. It's you play with people for that long, you don't need to rehearse. It's just natural.
Nice.
So it's kind of therapeutic. But yeah, we play pretty. We're looking to get back to once or twice a month. That's the goal.
Nice. And have your kids seen you on America's Got Talent, or have you shared that with them?
I have. My students found it pretty quick.
Of course, they find everything.
And they do. They you type in a Google search and it does. You don't have to scroll that far before it starts coming up in the video.
Listen,
feed,
but I guarantee you, this gets released, they're going to find this too. So.
Absolutely. That's why it's all good.
Exactly.
You know, I got nothing to hide. We were the clean cut, most clean cut, nerdiest little band of guys ever. And, but we had a great time doing it. I mean, that was my life for 7 years, I think, touring around the United States, going over to England and, you know, getting to get 2 free trips out to LA for America's Got Talent. I have no regrets, man.
Nice.
That's really cool. That's really cool. How far did you guys make it? Yeah. I'm just curious.
We were semifinalists.
Nice.
And I can tell you, we knew we weren't going to get very far early on. The girl that won that season actually performed on the same first episode that we were on. And we were sitting in the audience and she started belting out these vocals. And I was like, okay, guys, this was a good run. But, you know, it was great. We went from sleeping on a bus, which we toured on, which was a great bus. We get flown out to LA and they're like, here's your room and here's your room and here's your room. We go from, you know, sleeping practically on top of each other to being, you know, younger guys and everybody getting their own king size bed in a giant hotel in Los Angeles and getting to go play on the beach. That was, it was a very cool experience. And, you know, we were right back to the bus a week later, but you know, for that week we were kings.
So if our listeners wanted to find out what that is or who that group is, yeah, or catch them, what was the group's name?
Band was called PBM, which originally we were a ska band when we started. So the PBM stood for Peanut Butter Mosquitoes because we wanted a name that sounded more ridiculous than the Squirrel Nut Zippers. And so
now you are dating yourself. You realize that now.
I am. That's okay. I'm cool with where I am. Once we went into the studio to record our first full-length album, we abbreviated it to PBM, which eventually morphed into Poor Boy Music. So you can still find us out there. Our music is still on iTunes. It's still on Spotify. I'm sure it's on, you know, Amazon and a myriad of other things. I just want to know who gets the 3-cent royalty.
I was just going to ask you, are you getting any residuals from that still?
No. And I'm not worried about that.
Nah,
we've made our musical impact into the world, and 30 years from now, people will still go, "Who are these guys?"
And I have to say, and you may not be able to answer this or whatever, but I experienced it one time too. In my spare time, I used to sing a lot more than I do now, and I did at Disney World one time. I did that they had the American Idol thing there where the experience.
Sure.
And I did it. My wife and I went. We were still, you know, pre kids, and I did it and went through. And said, I'm just curious what this is all about because they put you through that rigmarole of the day and the show. And I'm like, there's no way they're even going to put me on stage. I'm like 30 years old, and there's a bunch of kids that are just go to Disney World specifically to do this because I guess if you win the whole thing, you get like a front of the line with the producer's audition for the actual show. And I told my wife, there's no way I'm going to get in on this. So what do? I get to the first show and sure enough, they vote me through and I have to perform again later that night in this big, you know, massive showcase. But the whole time, that first show, I knew where I was placed and how they put the different promos and stuff and the way that the judges spoke on stage. Versus the voting, I knew there wasn't manipulation, but there was definitely a drive to drive the folks in the audience to go in a certain direction. And the same thing in the evening, they brought me out in first and it was like to get the crowd going. And then you knew by the way things happened through the rest of that show, where they were guiding the end result to be. Because ultimately they have to, you know, even at Disney, there's a set standard for performance and there's a set standard for all that good stuff. And, and I do think, that there's obviously you can influence anything. So that was my experience.
I think the benefit to being on the first season was that I don't think they fully knew what they wanted the show to be yet or what it was going to turn into. I mean, you got to remember that was Regis Philbin as the host.
Oh, really?
And then you had, Piers Morgan, David Hasselhoff, and Brandy as the judges.
Nice.
A very, very different panel. So I think the highlight of that for me And most probably quite possibly also one of the worst experiences of my life and the greatest experience all wrapped up into one was we were just there to have fun. So we were on stage getting our instruments plugged in and sound checking, and the judges weren't out in their seats yet. So the producers just gave us free rein to just start having fun and entertain the audience. So we did that. And as we were doing that, David Hasselhoff comes out and takes his seat. And so what do we do as a bunch of immature, you know, early 20-year-olds is we start harassing David Hasselhoff and heckling him to come up on stage and perform with us.
Oh.
To which he adamantly says no three times. And then the fourth time hops up on stage, yells "Unchain My Heart" in A and counts it off. And next thing you know, we're on stage playing back up to David Hasselhoff.
That's pretty cool.
And entertaining a crowd at America's Got Talent.
That's
And this was in his cheeseburger phase, if you remember that. This is like cheeseburger phase, David Hasselhoff cast on his wrist from, you know, punching a chandelier or something. It was a hot mess, and it was amazing.
That's pretty cool. That's a story to tell your grandkids someday, right?
That's right. They're going to be like, who's David Hasselhoff?
Well, you know, overseas, still really popular.
Yes.
I thought maybe you were going to tell me you guys started playing the Knight Rider theme or something.
No, that,
yes.
That would have been pretty sweet. Along with, what's his name? What's the actor's name from Boy Meets World? Mr. Feeney did the voice. Didn't he have Kit?
So was he the Kit?
Yeah, he did. He did. Yeah.
Nice.
He did. So, well, Tom, thanks for, as we get Mike going here on his 80s throwback of television shows and movies.
It's a whole nother podcast.
It is a whole nother show. But you know, Tom, thanks so much for joining us. Say you said some great things that, you know I learned from, and hopefully many of our listeners do too. And get just take some of that advice, and hopefully we all become better parents just by helping each other out. So thanks for being here today.
Hey, I appreciate the invite, and look forward to hearing what you guys do in the future. Yeah,
thanks, and hopefully someday we'll have you back on, and we'll do some more of this. So maybe when we get close to retirement or something, we'll talk about what we did wrong, right?
Yeah, that sounds good. I'm sure that's going to need more than 50 minutes, I'm sure.
Totally. Well, Mike, thank you as well for joining us again here. It's always a pleasure having you on as well, helping me out and co-hosting here.
Hey, no problem, man, anytime.
Again, thank you all for listening to The Dad Experience. You can find us on Apple Podcasts or any other major podcast medium. Please, if you could, go out there, subscribe, rate, review. Those ratings and reviews do help us a lot, and you know, it keeps pushing us a little bit farther along to get out more to the masses. You know, I've looked recently, we've hit Australia, we've hit Vietnam, we've hit Japan, we've hit a lot of other different countries. So thank you to those of you that have done those things and helped us get across, you know, across the world. So we really do appreciate it. You can find us on all major social media. Just search for The Dad Experience or The Dad Experience Podcast, and you can find us on all the major social media. If you have a show idea, please reach out to us, email, or on one of those social media platforms, and let us know you'd like to be on the show or have a show idea. But as always, thank you so much for joining us on The Dad Experience.
The Dad Experience.